Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
I guess today we want to tell y'all how to make your hairstylist love you.
And it's not that we hate anyone. There's just sometimes we have to have conversations in the back room about your behavior.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, y'all might not even realize something is difficult for us that you're saying. When we say make your hairstylist love you, it's not something like tip, which, I mean, that does give you brownie points, but we don't expect it. What we do love is clear, concise communication. Contrary to what I think is like popular belief, I love a picture because it gets us all on the same page.
Our goal is your goal also. We want to get you to that picture. And that's the reason we ask you what's on your hair. We ask you for pictures of your hair. And that's why we need to know that so then we can plan to get you there.
So you're trying to book a hair appointment with somebody for the first time. You're going to go message them on social media or what have you. First and foremost, I need you to say hi. Don't just say how much.
Yes, please.
Because I know me personally, if you message my social media, especially my Facebook, you're going to get a reply message that says, hey, if you're a first-time client, here's what I need from you, and gives you a checklist. And then you can go ahead and send me all those things. So by the time I get to this message, I have all of the information I need to answer you correctly and then subsequently book your appointment correctly. And if you are unaware of how to ask for what you want, that's why we say, hey, go find pictures that explain to us what you want, because then that shows us. And there's no questioning, like, because when I describe caramel, might be, you know, a honey blonde to you.
Right.
That's kind of the difference there.
And not just that, if somebody's been blonde for a while and they're saying, I want to go dark, and dark to me is looking at mine and your hair, but dark to them might be a caramel.
Exactly. A picture really kind of clears up the muddy spots.
Exactly. Because there's some services I don't take. I do natural lived-in hair. Randa does a lot of vivid rainbow crazy colors. So I've had regulars that have sent me like a purple color and been like, can you do this? And I'm like, yes, I can do that, but I don't do that. So I send them to Randa. So you want to make sure that you're on the same page and that you are a good fit for each other.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're asking a stylist to step out of their comfort zone, or their specialty, and they are like known to specialize in something, then like that's literally not what they're building their career on. So you should probably go find somebody who does specialize in what you want. Another thing is when you book an appointment, keep the appointment. Okay. And if you need to cancel, just be aware there might be a cancellation fee, because if y'all cancel, like within, I usually say 24 to 48 hours before your appointment, it's really hard for us to fill that spot in, because even if we do have a wait list, the person on the wait list might not be able to accommodate that appointment that soon. So just keep that in mind. And if you're going to reserve time, please show up. And another thing is also, if you're a regular, pre-book your appointment, guys.
Right.
If you know you're going to be in, go ahead and book that. So that we aren't then scrambling to get you in later when you're like, oh my God, I need it so bad.
When you want to book an appointment, don't just message us and say, hey, I want an appointment. Say, hey, I want an appointment. Tuesdays work best for me. Mornings work best for me. Fridays work best. Let us know so then we're not just going back and forth in an endless game of how's Monday at 3:30? No, how's Wednesday at 12? Be honest with us about your schedule, because now hair services take so much longer than they used to.
Yeah, they're really involved.
And we need to make sure you have the time and we have the time to get you exactly where you're needing to go.
Yes. So essentially, like, we want you to have all the time that you need to get the hair that you want. So that's why we need you guys to be really honest with us about what you want, when you want it.
What do you want to spend for it?
Yeah. See, now I personally, I kind of just cut out the middleman there, and I will post like on my social media stories, my availabilities, and then people will just message me and say, hey, can I have this time? This is what I want. And that kind of, that helps a lot, I feel like.
I do too. And just know, now you are seeing stylists have so many more boundaries and cancellation fees and appointment regulations and stuff like that. Just know we're not doing it to be mean. We're not doing it to be full of ourselves. We're not doing it because we hate you. We are doing it because the last few years have shown us a lot in our careers and helped a lot of us grow. And we realize that we have to put up boundaries to make sure that we have the careers that we want, to give you the hair that you want, and everybody be a good fit.
So basically, we're just trying to serve y'all better. And if everybody, you know, we can get in a good rhythm, that's really what we would like.
Exactly. We all have the same goal. So in conclusion, literally, please just communicate with us, because we're trying. We are trying and we can't read your mind. So in conclusion, good communication skills, just in life, not even with your hairstylist.
Amen. Let church said amen, and go to therapy while we're at it.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
Today, we are going to talk about Patty Stryker. Patty Stryker was found inside of the winery that she owned and operated in Athens, Tennessee, which is just right up the road from Cleveland here. And this is April 10th of 2000. Patty Ann Moses Stryker was a Nebraska native who graduated from Bellevue College. Y'all, she also studied at Oxford, England. Oxford.
Wow.
Yeah. At the time of her death, she was 35 years old and a mother of four. Patty was described as, like, everyone that I could find, anybody who had anything to comment on her said she was just the friendliest person. And then her brothers are on a couple of news stories, and they describe her as someone who is very welcoming and somebody that you would want as your friend.
And she looked like it too.
Oh my God. Okay, so all the pictures and video that I've seen of Patty, like, her presence just comes right through that camera. She had big, like, blown out, like, and there was a couple of pictures of, like, some very, like, 80s curly, but it's always, like, a reddish color. And she had a huge smile, and she wore that, like, 90s, like, brick red.
Oh.
That, like, perf, like, oh, I love it. Love that.
McIntyre look right there.
Love it. Into it. And she just had the kindest eyes, and she was beautiful, y'all. She was so pretty. Patty was, like, big into community. She was big into her church. She was a practicing Catholic, and she was even a member of, like, the Chamber of Commerce in Athens. Patty's body was found by one of the employees of the winery around, like, 9:30 a.m. Now, this employee had a friend with him, and they walk in, and they find Patty shot behind, like, where the cash register is supposed to be. And the cash register's gone.
The whole thing.
But she gone.
Okay.
And Patty has, it's like laying there in a pool of blood. Now, I've only seen one report that mentions that cash was strewn around in there. But we do know the cash register is gone.
Okay.
And there was a shell casing found But there's no weapon and there's no cash register.
Okay.
And it was determined that she was killed between 8:30 and 9:15 that morning. Here's the thing, y'all, about time of death. Is that time of death is kind of a junk science. It's an approximation.
There's a lot of outside factors.
Exactly. So there's a lot. Now, I did, again, I saw one, like, brief. It was like a Reddit, okay? So it's not even a whole source, all right? Where somebody said that they triangulated the time because Patty had been on the phone that morning or something like that, and then that when her body was found at 9:30. But again, that could be purely speculation. I'm not sure. Okay. So investigators come and initially they're like, okay, cash register's gone. This is a robbery. Immediately they're on search for our shotgun and our cash register. Now, I'm going to talk briefly about one separate murder that was never linked ever to Patty. But another winery owner named Joe Marlowe, who owned a winery in Monteagle, Tennessee. Okay. So not crazy far from Athens. We're talking like an hour drive, okay? Joe pulled up in his driveway with a cash bag from his winery, gets out of his car and he's shot.
Okay.
Meanwhile, his wife is in the house the whole time, comes out, finds Joe, whole rigmarole, right? Nobody can figure out, like, because Joe still got the cash back. This was 2 months before Patty's case. Now, two winery owners and winemakers in Tennessee out of the whole 20 are found shot dead and nobody knows why. So winemakers are like, what? And so now police are like, this is weird. But later, okay, so we're talking several years later, it turns out that Mr. Joe Marlowe's wife hired a hit on Joe.
Oh, okay.
And later, they would set that winery on fire, causing $400,000 in damage, insurance money. And three men were arrested for that, one of them being Joe's son-in-law.
Oh, okay. So this was a real family affair then?
Yeah. So, mind you, that's years later.
So the wine community doesn't know that?
At this time, when Patty is found, nobody knows that. We've just got two wine owners that are dead. Okay. Now, eventually, police start to, you know, go about interviewing friends and family of Patty. And one thing's pretty clear. They don't like Stan. Now, Stan is Patty's current husband. He's the other striker that co-owns this winery. So come to find out, Patty and Stan had filed for divorce in 1999. Okay, so a year before.
Okay, so not too long.
Right. Reconciled within that same year, and Stan moved back into the house.
Okay.
This was just a couple months before Patty has come up shot.
And they remain business partners through all this?
Yeah. Okay. Now, Stan, who, by the way, is 19 years older, so she's a lot younger than Stan. Stan had apparently made some threats previously. Now, I cannot find what these said threats were, but one of Patty's brothers said that Stan had made previous threats.
So they were at least bad enough that Patty had told other people about him and reached out to other people saying, hey, this is going on.
Okay. Exactly. Patty's mom also was very vocal about that, like, her marriage to Stan had been nothing but trouble. That Stan had isolated Patty. A lot of just narcissistic
Right. That's behavior. A form of abuse in itself.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. Is Stan's got an alibi.
Oh. What's Stan's alibi?
Stan is on camera at his job for Bowwater, which is the local paper mill. Well, it's closed down now, but Right. It had been there forever. So he's on camera at Bowwater.
Well, I mean, camera's much more reliable than witness testimony.
It is what it is. That doesn't do a whole lot to quell any of the suspicions about Stan's involvement.
Oh, I'm sure not.
In 2001, Donnie, it gets a little muddy here, okay? He's 21 at this time and Patty's only 35. I'm guessing Patty likes older men. And this was a son that maybe was her stepson.
Right.
He had raised like a child.
Okay.
Because he's 21, she's 35. So I'm guessing that our Patty like older guys, which is fine. Hey, sister, it is what it is. You like a silver fox. I get it. But in 2001, Donnie, who is Patty's son, is 21 at the time, filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Stan for Patty's death for $5.5 million.
Everybody was like, Stan had something to do with this. Like, they obviously assumed that, or he wouldn't have filed a wrongful death suit.
Right. Well, in the lawsuit, Donnie claimed that Stan had prior knowledge or planning of Patty's murder, had some involvement, something to do with it. But the lawsuit was later dismissed in court because there just wasn't evidence, which obviously because Stan had.
Right. He was on video at work.
Exactly. Years stretch on. We're getting into 2006. And the chief of police at the time is watching. I think he said it was like America's Most Wanted or something.
Okay.
Where they had billboards up of missing people. And so he gets the idea to get these huge billboards. There were two of them in town. Now, Athens is not very big, so two billboards, everyone would see these, that read, "Who Killed Patty Stryker?" Big picture of Patty, little magnifying glass on there, and it's offering a $60,000 reward for information.
Oh, my God. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Who killed Patty? No leads.
But at the same time, I really love that they went to that initiative because it's not often that you hear police
a tiny town
things like that. Yes, I really love that.
So then in 2012.
So this is 12 years after she was murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In 2012, there's a fire at the Stryker Premium Winery.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah. This fire at the Stryker Winery did an estimated $70,000 to $90,000 worth of damage. And it gutted this. So this little winery is, it was, I mean, cutes magoots, let me tell you. It was like a little A-frame and it had this big like wood stair that came up and like met in the middle. And then it had another staircase. And when you went in, all the wines were on the back wall. And there was like a little counter. It was like a whole tasting room. Like this place was very nice. Incredible. And it was wood everywhere because it's in the middle of nowhere,
right.
Tennessee. And so this did an estimated $70,000 to $90,000 worth of damage to this cute little A-frame and just gutted it. Well, authorities start to notice a couple things that look like they might be signs of arson. There might be a little bit of accelerant use. It goes across the front porch, goes right up to the doorway, goes up the wall, and then it's burning the top here, like of the attic, kind of like ceiling area. So they call arson squad in. No suspects named. Nothing comes of that. Ain't it funny?
Funny how there wasn't video for that.
Well, of course not.
Right. It just seems like if my ex-wife had been murdered in my place of business, I would probably put up like cameras to make sure nothing else crazy happened there.
And my cash register was gone. 2 years later in 2014, we're in 2014 now.
14 years after Patty's death.
Her kids are teenagers now. All right. There's a boy and a girl, and I'm not going to name names.
No.
Because they deserve privacy and they don't deserve any extras that have come from this situation. But Stan's about to make some headlines again with his two kids. Stan takes the kids in early February up to the property and they're gonna clean up is what he says. They're gonna go do some cleaning around there, which yeah, family business, I get it. Take the teenagers,
yeah,
earn your allowance.
16, 17.
Yeah. Do the thing, right? So kids are hanging out around there cleaning up, and nowhere Stan shoots both the kids.
Oh my God.
Shoots the girl twice, shoots the boy once. The kids escape. They are able to run off to a neighbor of the winery property. And the neighbor, when they got there, they were just like, we need you to take us to the hospital. So the neighbor rushes them to the Athens hospital. They are airlifted to Chattanooga. So at one point, the boy's listed in critical condition and the sister is in the ICU. Both kids survive. Now, after Stan shoots the kids, at some point, he goes to his car and, trigger warning, he commits suicide, kills himself with the gun. He didn't leave a note. He didn't leave an explanation. Nothing. Now,
yes, Mia is pretty self-explanatory.
Didn't leave a note saying, hey, I killed my wife and this is literally the reason I'm doing this. But yeah. Well, come to find out, Stan was in a custody battle for the kids after another family member had accused him of being an unfit parent.
Okay, well, there's our motive right there.
And the kids had just recently been released back to Stan's custody.
Those poor kids.
And they don't have their mom to advocate. And they think probably that their dad killed their mom or had something to do with it.
Oh, I'm sure they know their dad.
Yeah.
So we still don't know who killed Patty.
But we still don't know who pulled the trigger on Patty.
He took any answers with him that he may have had.
Yeah, I think it's pretty evident that if you're willing to shoot your own kids, but I believe whatever threat he was telling Patty.
Yes, absolutely. But then he was at work, so there's still someone else out there.
There's a hired gun somewhere.
Right. There has to be. That's literally the only way that this story could go.
A shotgun blast to the head. I mean, somebody's got to talk about that, right?
Unless they were paid to do it. Because a small-time robbery, that's not this.
It would have been, it was like under $500 that would have been in that register. There's a very interesting Yelp review on Stryker Winery.
You've not told me this yet. You said you wouldn't.
Yeah, I told you. I wanted to read this to Ashley organically. So let me pull it up real quick. Also, side note, Yelp, you're an absolute menace to society for this. Stryker Winery is labeled as not good for children. I just want to put that out there.
The worst.
Anyway, this Yelp review is from David G. of Cleveland, Georgia. He gives it a 1-star review. The review reads, the owner of this winery killed his wife back in 2000 by staging a robbery at his tasting room. My wife and I used to sit with them both every evening, finishing up the bottles that have been tested throughout the day. We would often talk on the way home about how Stanley was going to kill his wife. One day, after comparing conversations we had with the both of them. It's 2018, and I just finished reading the Athens, Tennessee paper article about the owner, Stanley, shooting both his kids and then himself in 2014. It looks like he killed himself and tried to kill his kids, but I think they survived. Thank God. They did. This man, Stanley Stryker, was one weird dude. There was a many of times we left the tasting room thinking, let's get out of here before Stanley gets a gun and shoots someone. He would get this really weird, bloodshot, glassy-eyed look that would scare the shit out of me because it was the look of a man who had a lot of anger built up and was ready to explode. Crazy story about this place, and I believe it's closed down permanently now.
Go off, David G. David G., if you are out there, please send us an Instagram DM because we want to thank you for this review.
And then the other two Yelp reviews are just like, yeah, it's a nice picturesque setting, but the wine was terrible. And this was 2011 and both were in 2011.
See,
so this is right. That was right before an arson was committed.
Right. Well, he burned it down because he knew his wine was no good.
So that is the wild tale of Stryker Premium Winery and all of the shootings that have occurred there.
If you know anyone who has any info on Patty Stryker, they heard anything, they've seen anything, please tell them to call the McMinn County Sheriff's Office at 423-745-5620. Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.